start here. Thanks, you guys, for coming today. We are in Amos chapter 4, and we're about ready to start verse 12, which was, notice the breaking point that the Masoretic text gives you. We're kind of starting a new paragraph. And remember, he was, in the previous section, Yahweh was talking about the things that happened to Israel and things that he brought upon Israel in an attempt to get them to turn and repent. And remember, you had that repeated refrain, Velo Shavtem Adai, but you did not return to me, says Yahweh. So now, notice now when we move to verse 12, it begins with that La-Kain. La-Kain and Al-Kain obviously overlap somewhat in meaning. Al-Kain is generally used for when what follows is logical facts. So if you come to kind of, so in your argument, you know, if you're saying something, therefore, what logically kind of you might expect. That's how it's usually used. La-Kain most normally is followed by declarations or commands. So you see that a lot in the prophetic literature. Again, there is an overlap, but that's kind of a general statement. So in verse 12, notice now, you can assume as soon as you see that La-Kain, there's going to be some kind of a declaration or command based on what he has said earlier. So La-Kain ko e'eselaka Yisrael, ekev ki zot e'eselak hikon likrat Eloheka Yisrael. So La-Kain, therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel. Okay, here's the declaration. Thus I will do to you, and of course the thus refers to what's going to come. I mean, there's a look back, you know, at all things he's done before, but now here you can see the sense of foreboding. If all these other things happen, remember I gave you cleanness of teeth, I withheld from you water and all that, so now what's going to come? And notice he repeats himself. See this Akev ki? That means because or in consequence. So I'm going to translate in consequence of this, or because of this, I will do to you. So notice the repetition in language with the eseh. So a lot of time, even in like Leviticus, kind of these curse formulas or language like that, you see that eseh leka, thus I will do for you. So you have that repetition, but I would suggest that the zot. Come on over. Thanks for coming, you guys. We're in chapter 4, verse 12, by the way, for you guys who just came. Hey, Kevin. We're in chapter 4, verse 12.
Wrong group, sorry.
Oh. Oh, rats. You ought to join us, man.
Yeah, I would love you, but I have a meeting.
Oh, that's fun. So the zot, I would suggest that the zot refers to the stuff that just went right before. That, in other words, he did all this, and you didn't turn. All right. So notice it's a feminine, which usually refers to situations. So you could translate this way. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, what's to come, because of this, or in consequence of this, namely, you didn't listen to me, I will do to you. So again, it's kind of awkward there, that repetition. Okay. Yes,
go
ahead.
I'm curious why in the first part of that, is it lacha, and why? And then why is it lach in the latter part?
Okay, good question. So notice that in the second part, you have the accent there. You're in pause.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. You see the zakef, and whenever you're in pause, you're going to have a lengthening. And so that lach is actually the second masculine singular, but it's been lengthened, so it looks like a third or a second feminine.
I was about to
but
say
it's actually it's not. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's the pause. That happens a lot.
The first one and the second one just by default.
Lach. Yeah, it just goes lach. Correct.
Interesting.
All right. So the hikon, notice that that's from kun. And this is a nifal imperative. Remember, those nifal imperatives start with a hey. So if you have katal, hikatel. All right. Just like based on the imperfect yikatel. So the kon, hikon. From kun, to establish or to prepare. So here, be prepared. Here's this famous line, actually. Be prepared, likrat. Again, this is an infinitive construct from kara. And kara has two meanings. to call out, which is the one you know, but also to happen or to meet. So be prepared to meet your God, O Israel. So, I mean, this verse is whoa, right? So, therefore, here's the declaration. Thus I will do to you, Israel. Because of this I will do to you. Be prepared to meet your God, O Israel. Okay? Now, this is beautiful in its awesomeness, what's coming up next. Verse 13. Ki hine yotzer harim uvore ruach. Umagid l'adam ma secho. Ose shachar efa. Vidorek al bamate aret sadonai elohe zevaot shemo. For look, the one who formed, notice he's using these participles as substantives, the one who formed the mountains, Yotzer Harim, Ubore, and the one who created the Ruach, who created the wind, Umagid, this is from Nagad, all right, and it's a hifil participle, again, substantive, the one who declares to man or relates to Adam what his seach is your thought, what his thought is. Okay. Ose, again, notice the participle, the one who makes shachar, dawn, efa. Efa is darkness, gloom. Okay. So the one who, and notice again in Hebrew, you do not have to have prepositions, you have just these nouns attached to each other, and what's the best way to render them in English? We'd probably say something, the one who makes or turns the dawn into gloom. Okay? So in charge of the day and night, so to speak. And he'll follow up with similar language. Vedorek, and the one who walks upon the bamate aretz, on the high places, one who walks on the high places of the earth. Adonai Elohim, the Lord of hosts, is Shemo. Is his name. See how awesome that declaration is? So you get a description of his omnipotence here. And notice that one of such power, given verse 12, you better be ready to meet him. But notice that it's not going to be a pajama party. All right. He has something very different in mind for the meeting. Okay, any questions through chapter 4?
There's the big picture of you made the mountain, and then there's a very personal question of the meteor thoughts.
Yes, very good.
A different kind of alpha and omega kind of.
No, yeah, you're right. The one who formed the mountains and created the wind is the same one who can tell to humankind what his thought is.
Yeah.
Seach. So he knows what's in your heart, and he's the one who created everything. Yeah, and he has control. Notice too. Yeah, very good. All right. Chapter 5, then. Shimu et hadavar hazeh, asher anoki nosei aleichem, kina beit Yisrael. Hear this word, which I nosei. So nasa, again, notice the participle, but this time the participle has a more verbal function, which I am about to lift up upon you, or lift up against you. And now he describes what the word is, akina. Okay, that's a certain, like, lamentation. O house of Israel. So, again, he's about to lift up against them or upon them a kina, a lamentation or a lament. All right, and here it comes in verse 2. Nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael. Nitsha al ad mata ein mekima. Okay, nafla is from nafal. Okay, she has fallen. Not will she add. Notice that that is a hifil from Yosef, and I think I've talked about this idiom before. Whenever you see tosif like this, you can bet that the word following it is going to be an infinitive. So it's very woodenly. She has fallen. Not will she add to rise. That makes very little sense in English. So you make the infinitive construct into the finite verb and make tosif the adverb. She has fallen. She will not rise again. So almost inevitably, that tosif plus the infinitive you want to is an idiom for that. So she will not, that's how Hebrew says, she will not do something again a lot of times. A lot of times there's an ode with that as well to kind of emphasize the point, ever again or something like that. Namely, here's the subject, Betula Israel. So the virgin of Israel has fallen, she will not rise again. Okay? Nitsha, notice that that is a first nun verb from Natash. So it's a nifal perfect, and the nun of the root has assimilated. So Natash means to forsake, so the nifal, to be forsaken. She is forsaken upon Admata, upon her land. Ein Mekima, there is no one who will raise her. This is from Kum, to rise. So the hifil participle, and the third feminine singular suffix. There is no one who will raise her. All right. So that's the lament.
I think it's really cool, just the sound of the Hebrew there, because it all of a sudden gets really staccato and,
yeah,
and harsh.
Right, it does.
And you, it's hard to replicate that in English, but it's kind of neat how it comes out.
Right, see, and so you get that lament kind of meter coming here. Good. All right, verse 3 then. Kiko amar Adonai Yahweh ha'ir ha'yotzeit elef tashir mea v'ha'yotzeit mea tashir asara Levet Yisrael. Here's another devastating passage, very famous too. For thus says Adonai Yahweh, Ha'ir. Notice he fronts it, fronts the noun, the city, Ha'yotzeit. Again, another participle. Notice he's dealing mainly in participles here. Here, notice you have the article attached to it, whereas before they were used as substantives, remember, and the article was not there. All right, so you just see a little different kind of stylistic variation. So the city, the one going out, 1,000. All right, so Yotzeit is from Yatzah, the one going out, 1,000. Tashir Mea. Mea is the word for 100. And Tashir is a hifil from Sha'ar, to remain, to be left. Notice the hifil here, kind of idiomatically, the city which goes out 1,000 will have 100 left. Basically. Okay, that's probably in English the best way to put it. I mean, if you did it really woodenly, remains 100, or so we would probably say, has left 100. V'hayotzeit, and the one which goes out 100, has 10 left. Asara is 10. Mm-hmm. To the house of Israel, belonging to the house of Israel. So notice that Lamed talks about the devastation of the cities, and how many inhabitants is going to be actually exiled, so that there are very few Israelites left in the city. Okay? Questions through 3? All right. Again, now notice you have the repetition in verse 3. In verse 3, you had the Ki Ko Amar Adonai. Here again, another one coming. Ki Ko Amar Adonai Levet Yisrael. Dear Shuni Vikyu, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel. Dear Shuni, seek me, from Darash, simple call imperative, Vikyu and live, so another imperative, call masculine, plural imperative, seek me and live. All right? Remember when you have two imperatives like that, very often the second one has this purpose result relationship. So seek me so that you may live. Some translations may have it. Very common construction in Hebrew. All right. Verse 5, Ve'al tid reshu beit el ve'hagilgal lo tavo'u uve'er sheva lo ta'avo'ru ki ha'gilgal galo yigle uveit el yih le'aven. All right. And do not seek Bethel, or do not seek in Bethel, we'd probably add that preposition. And to Gilgal, lo tavo, do not go. Just notice you have a nice chiasm. Do not seek Bethel, and ha Gilgal, do not go, or do not enter. Uve'er sheva, and be'er sheva, do not ta'avoru, do not cross over. All right. For HaGilgal, I love the wordplay. Notice the HaGilgal Galo Yigla. For Gilgal, now notice Galo is an infinitive absolute from Gala. Yigla is a call imperfect from Gala, third masculine singular, to go into exile. For Gilgal, will either certainly go into exile or go into complete exile. Okay? And Beit El will become as Aven. Alright? Which is another city decimated. Any questions through 4-5? Alright? Doing well here? Alright, verse 6. Dirshu et Adonai vichyu pen yitzlach ka'esh beit Yosef v'akla v'ein mekabel lev veit el. Dirshu, seek Yahweh and live. Again, notice the repetition. So notice you have that echo because in verse 4 it's seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel, etc. Now you have as if the voice of the prophet comes a little more to the surface here. And remember, a lot of times Yahweh and the prophet speak as one and you don't even know which is speaking, actually. So seek Yahweh and live. Lest yitzlach, okay, zalach, can be used in a positive sense to advance or to prosper, but here notice the negative connotation. Lest he rush as a fire against the house of Joseph. So this is like Young Men and Fire, the book, Eric, where he talks a lot about how the fires just overtook the men. And it's frightening, his description, actually. Yeah. So lest he rush out as a fire against the Beit Yosef, ve'akla, and it eat. Notice fire is the subject, third feminine singular, and it eat, and there is no mekabeh, no quencher. That's a PL participle from kava to quench, and there is no quencher, no one quenching, or no one to quench for Bethel, lebeit el. All right, now verse 7, ha-hofkim. Notice that that's another participle from ha-fak, to turn or to overturn. And it's referring to the inhabitants of Bethel. So again, going back to verse 6, seek Yahweh and live, lest he rush out like a fire against the house of Joseph, and it eat, and there's no one quenching it for Bethel, the one who overturns, or those who overturn. So thinking of the inhabitants, hofkim, La'ana, that's wormwood. What's wormwood? One who turns to wormwood, mishpat, justice into wormwood. I don't know, wormwood must be, it's not good. Evidently it's wood with worms in it. Maybe that's all it means. Woody, worm, not very strong wood. Wormwood. Okay, so who turns mishpat to la'ana, and tzedakah, righteousness. Now notice that hinichu, everybody see the root? It's a very common root, nuach. To rest. And remember, nuach has two hifil forms. The heiniach form, which behaves like a hollow verb, which means to give rest to. But then you also have this that behaves like a first nun verb, and it means to put or place, similar to seem. Okay? And they throw down or put down righteousness to the ground, la eretz. So ha hofkim, those who turn to wormwood, mishpat, and righteousness to the ground, they cast down. Hinichu. Okay? Any questions through 7? All right. We're going to finish it at the end of verse 8 here. Ose kima ukasil v'hofek laboker tzalmavet v'yom laila. Hecheshik hakore leme hayam vayish pekem al pene haaretz Adonai shemo. Okay, here you go again, participles. The one who makes, or the one who made kima, that's Pleiades. These are constellations. And Kasil is Orion, so the stars. So notice where he's going with how you think of Yahweh's power. So the one who makes those, vehofek, and the one who turns to the morning, Tzalmavet, deep darkness. Again, you're getting a similar description as to what we got a few verses ago. And the one who turns to the morning, darkness. And day into night, Hech shik, he darkens. Chashak means to be dark. Choshek is darkness. So here's the hifil, to darken. So he darkens day into night. And again, you don't have the connectors with the prepositions in Hebrew very often. You know, it's just very brief. Okay? So, and just notice the style. It just seems to be, I don't think there's any great semantic difference or point you can make. Here, notice you have HaKore. Again, here's a participle used, something now it has the article. The one who calls Lemei Hayam to the waters of the sea. Okay, now he switches verbs from participle to vav consecutive. Vayish pekem. All right. And pours them from Shafak and pours them upon the face of the earth. All right, so I guess he's the one who makes the stars, who turns to the morning, deep darkness into morning, okay, day to night, so to speak, and he darkens day into night. So notice he controls kind of the times and the seasons, I think is what he's called. So he calls to the waters of the sea, and they pour upon the face of the earth. So I suppose he's talking, you know, it could be anything from hurricanes to the tides to waves to floods, all those kinds of things. Yahweh Shemo is his name. Okay. We'll stop there because there's a nice paragraph break for the Masoretes. Give us any questions. All right, so notice the dirge or lament that's being sung over Israel. Very powerful.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.